I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. The annual St. Louis International Film Festival runs November the 13th through the 23rd, with screenings at multiple locations. We're going to meet film director Matt Amato in just a few minutes. But first, we welcome the executive director of Cinema St. Louis, Cliff Frelick. Hi, Cliff. How are you?
Every time, Steve.
I've known you for a while, and I can't even get your name out of my mouth. Well, nice to see you, though.
Good being here.
Cliff, 11 days, I don't know how many films. How about an overview?
Well, we do have more than 400 films. That includes our shorts. We have about 20 shorts programs, but we have more than 90 narrative features, fiction for those who don't know what narrative is, and about 75 documentary features. So literally there is something for everybody. If you're looking for something to see, you'll find it at the festival.
And the locations, of course, Tivoli and?
Well, we have multiple locations, but Tivoli and Plaza Frontenac are our central. We have four screens between those two, but we're also on both weekends at Washington University and also at the stage at KDHX. We have a lot of music documentaries at the stage at KDHX. We're also at St. Louis University for the first time this year. We're at Webster University, one of our traditional venues, and then Scadsmore. We're actually at the Missouri History Museum. We're at the St. Louis Art Museum, at the Contemporary Art Museum. It goes on and on.
People really need to see, what do you call it, a program guide?
Yes, our program guide. You can find that in this issue of the Riverfront Times. It's out on stands. You can also look online on cinemastlouis.org.
And really, it's interesting to look through because you give a brief rundown of every film that you're screening, and it's a good way to kind of figure out what you want to see.
Takes a while to sort through all the possibilities, but yes, that's the place to turn to.
Well, let's talk for just a few moments about a couple of films that caught my eye. And you
sure.
can just say something about them just out of the blue. And the first one is because I happen to know the author, Cynthia Willenbrock. She wrote a children's picture book about her dog. And it was made into a film and shot in St. Louis earlier this year, Marshall the Miracle Dog.
It's one of our family films. We have a stream of family film programming. And we're really pleased to have the world premiere of Marshall the Miracle Dog. Actually directed by a former president of Cinema St. Louis, one of our board chairs, Jay Kanzler. It's a very charming movie. Unfortunately, if you don't have a ticket already, you're going to have to wait until it's available again because it's already sold out. It's been a quick seller.
Hmm. How about Bob Reuter's Last Tape?
Bob Reuter, of course, is a local hero who died tragically maybe 2 years ago now. It's been a while. But at any rate, this film had been evolved from a short, and now it's more feature length. It goes into Bob's life and his music and his photography. He did all sorts of different aspects of art.
And he had a radio program on KDHX.
He
a lot
did.
Of people would know him that way.
Yeah. So that deals with the radio show as well. And then it will be concluded, the evening will be concluded with a concert by Bob Reuter's Alley Ghost, his band, who continue to perform.
There's a film called Tribute to King Bagot, and I'd never heard of this gentleman.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because, and it's one of the reasons why we're doing the program, King Bagot, at one point in the world, was the world's most photographed man. That was at least his title. He was the first movie star. He's originally from St. Louis, and he was perhaps, at least it's arguably, the first person that people went to see because he was in the movie. He's been since forgotten, but he had a long, silent career. He started as an actor and then moved into direction. And we're going to be showing a twofer. We're going to show a film called Ivanhoe with live music by the Rats and People Motion Picture Orchestra. And then we're going to do a film that he directed called Tumbleweeds with the silent film cowboy star William S. Hart. And that'll be with solo piano accompaniment by Matt Pace.
And the last one I wanted to ask you about was one that caught my eye. And I know there are other films in the festival, maybe you might want to address this, that deal with the same topic generally. One, though, is called Race in America, The Black Experience.
Well, actually, that's the title of our overarching programming stream, Race in America, The Black Experience. We have about a dozen films that address that theme from different angles, many of which, in fact, the majority are free, including a film, for example, called I'm Not Racist, Am I? Which is about some high schoolers who think of themselves as being post-racial, but nonetheless discover once they examine their behaviors and attitudes that they have a lot to learn and to get past before they become truly post-racial.
Okay, and for the rest of the 400-some-odd films, you need to look at that program guide.
That's right.
Right. Well, right now, why don't we meet a filmmaker whose work is part of this year's festival, Matt Amato. Welcome to Cityscape.
Thank you, Steve.
Nothing happens, Matt, until two people fall in love and then the world changes. Is that what you're telling us?
That is the philosophy of this love story, yes.
Your movie is entitled The Makings of You.
Yes.
You're originally from St. Louis.
Yes.
And you were a director of music videos, and this is your first feature film. Is that the story?
Yes.
How'd that all that happen for you? And why'd you decide to come back to St. Louis to do this? Because you filmed it here.
Yes. We filmed it's a genuine St. Louis product from top to bottom. We have some L.A. actors, of course.
A couple who have worked on programs that we would know.
Yes. Mad Men, Twin Peaks, Big Love. Yes, very popular shows. Still popular. If you look at Twin Peaks, you know, that has a fascination with lots of kids these days.
Yeah, Cliff Matt's film actually kind of kicks off the festival, doesn't it?
It is. It's our opening night film on the 13th, on Thursday the 13th.
All right, Matt, I had the chance a little while ago, to watch the first scene in your film, so let's talk about the part that I saw. The movie opens with some shots of the river at St. Louis, the Mississippi River at St. Louis, and we see some familiar bridges with the arch in the distance. So what's the scene you're setting there in the beginning?
I'm trying to set a timeless environment for these characters to exist in. The story is a lot about how the past influences the present. And these characters are also somewhat trapped in the past. So the shot of the train going over the bridge, it's shot in reflection. So you can't tell if you're coming or going. And that has a psychological...
Sort of like these two people.
Yeah. Sort of like these two people. Mm-hmm. So it really is just to set up the characters and a mood and an environment where 2 minutes in, you might suspend your belief enough to accept that these two people fall in love at first sight.
We're talking about Judy and Wallace. So the movie opens with the shot you just described. There's a man working his shop. I don't know. It looks like a combination junk shop, antique store maybe.
Yes.
Sort of something like that. And then there's a woman walking down the street. She notices a shop. She peers in. She walks inside.
Yes, that's Judy.
And then you tie the river in again because she looks at some things that he tells her that he found on the bottom of the river.
Yes. Those are actual artifacts from the bottom of the river. They were found by who I refer to as river hunters, Brian Payne and Kristen Cassidy. They live in St. Louis, and they collect objects from the bottom of the river. Mm-hmm. And they imbued our production with a lot of substantial value. It's not just a junk shop. These objects almost have a mystical quality, and they're a hook for Judy. It's not just an average junk shop. She eventually goes to a gold typewriter in
right.
the shop, which belonged to my grandparents. My grandpa owned and ran the St. Louis Typewriter Company, and he actually gave me that typewriter when I was a little boy. So that's the first object that kind of unites them.
Well, they sort of banter back and forth, and then she leaves, and he tells her to come back, and he sorts of watches her leave.
Yeah, that to me is like almost in a nutshell, that's the whole story. He's watching her walk away, and she doesn't look back.
So is this a quote-unquote love story? Is that what you
Absolutely,
would say?
Absolutely, yeah. It's a love story.
With a happy ending? Because I haven't seen the ending.
Well, let's say it's a satisfying ending. I think people really do respond to the ending.
We have the first minute of the trailer I want to play, and where there's some dialogue there, but also music. And maybe you want to say something about it before we play it, because music is a very important part of your work.
Absolutely. My work with the masses and our philosophy is we are committed to music-driven projects.
The masses is a collaborative that I want you to talk about a little bit later. But why don't we go to the trailer now? This is the first minute of the trailer for The Makings of You.
Everybody's got a story, that's for sure.
You remind me of the past.
The
I know your patterns. It always begins like this, sleeping all the time, crying for no reason, late for work, staying out all night.
Thank you.
That's from The Makings of You, part of the St. Louis International Film Festival. We're talking with the film's director, Matt Amato, and with Cinema St. Louis's Cliff Frelick. I guess I should ask you what happens next.
With Judy and Wallace?
Uh-huh.
Well, we don't know much about them at the beginning, I intentionally wanted to structure the movie that way, so it was a very intimate experience for the two characters and for the audience to participate in their process of falling in love. Then you do realize other things about them, where she's living, who she's living with, enter her mother.
Oh, no.
Enter her children.
It's getting complicated, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it does. Another way to look at this movie is how difficult it is to work love into your reality.
Cliff, a quick take on the movie from your point of view?
Well, one, I think people are going to be stunned by how gorgeous it is. It's really a beautifully shot film. Beautifully shot not in the sense that it's overly pretty. It shows aspects of St. Louis that are very much integral to the city, but that you don't normally see represented on screen. So I think that's a really important aspect of it. And then the use of music in this is, as you already noted, really quite extraordinary. So I think people will be quite swept up, both from those points of view and then, of course, the central love story.
Cinema St. Louis presents the 23rd annual St. Louis International Film Festival. It opens with The Makings of You. We're talking with the film's director, Matt Amato. And in a few minutes we have remaining, Cliff, just real briefly, what we need to know about tickets, and you're giving out some special awards. Any special events that you want to mention?
Sure. Well, I'll name check a few people that we're giving awards to. I'd like to mention Timothy J. Sexton, who's going to be receiving our Charles Guggenheim Cinema St. Louis Award, native of town, who is a screenwriter, Oscar-nominated screenwriter. He's here with The Liberator. And then we also have a great documentarian, Doug Prey, who's here with a film called Levitate at Mass. We're giving him our Contemporary Cinema Award, and that's a free screening at Steinberg, another of our venues.
Mm-hmm. Any special events you want to highlight?
Well, I always like to let people know about the fact that we've got a closing night party that's open to all at the Contemporary Art Museum. That's on the 23rd. Come enjoy yourself and then hear about the award winners. We'll be giving out all of our awards that night.
And for more information, check out the program guide or go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page. We'll have a link to Cinema St. Louis's website. And Matt, you mentioned the masses in passing a moment ago, and that's a collaborative, just real briefly, if you can tell me about it, because you were involved in that with the late actor Heath Ledger.
Yes, I was. We were partners at the Masses, and we were intent on making this movie. I feel like I'm carrying the torch, and I hope he loves this movie. It's dedicated to him.
Mm-hmm. Now, you grew up in St. Louis. We said that earlier. And in fact, I understand in the movie, they ask that question. One of the characters asks that question that we always hear here, which is?
Where'd you go to high school, Steve?
Where'd you go to high school, Matt?
Priory.
Uh-huh. Well, best of luck. And this is your first feature film. So
yes.
Continued success there.
Well, thank you. It's a thrill being here at your station, and it's a thrill opening up the St. Louis Film Festival.
That's Matt Amato, the director of The Makings of You. We're also talking with Cliff Frelick, executive director of Cinema St. Louis. Thanks for being here, Cliff. And again, the festival runs November the 13th, Thursday, through Sunday the 23rd. Go to our website for more information on all the films and all the locations and the rest of it. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Steve.
And now commentator Nancy Kranzberg shares these thoughts on the use of figures in repose in art.
I love some of the titles of art exhibitions. I recently saw a unique exhibition entitled Recline/Design, Art and the Aesthetics of Repose at the Palm Springs Art Museum's location in Palm Desert, California. The introductory panel of the exhibit says, "The human body is a classic source of inspiration for artists of all genres, and it is also the unit of measure in furniture design. With the museum's wide-ranging collection of chairs alongside modern and contemporary representations of the body at rest, this exhibition considers how the figure in repose shapes artistic explorations of form, function, and feeling. The works are in every artistic medium conceivable and from cultures from both ancient times to the present. Such well-known artists as Mayol, Rodin, and Tamayo, as well as Buddha and other religious images from around the world, are included. Also, there are wonderful photographs by such luminaries as Julius Shulman, the photographer most known for his shots of mid-century modern homes, and some beautiful images of bodybuilders in repose by an artist known as Bruce of L.A. Throughout the history of art, one of the most consistent of all subjects is the reclining nude. Jean Arp, Brancusi, and Henry Moore were all well known for their figures in repose. A great example of Moore's work is on the grounds of the Columbus Art Museum. His reclining figures are not mere exercises in abstraction. Rather, they symbolize larger themes, such as the relationships of humans to the organic and inorganic natural world. The California exhibition was divided into three sections: the classical figure, design and the built environment, and nature and spirituality. Back home again, I visited our very comprehensive St. Louis Art Museum and got my afternoon exercise walking for over an hour, identifying pieces from our own collection which fit into these three categories. The chairs in the decorative arts and design section of our museum featured works such as the Herder Brothers sewing chair to Frank Gehry's chair fabricated by the Knoll Group. A chair can be looked upon as pure sculpture on the one hand and functional equipment on the other. The evolution of the modern chair forms its own chapter in art history. David Conradson, Associate Curator of Art and Design at the St. Louis Art Museum, says, "Chairs have so much to say. They're loaded with information. We recently created an installation at the St. Louis Art Museum based on that most familiar kind of furniture, chairs, as an entry point to discuss the place of functional objects in an art museum. Using a range of chairs from different time periods and traditions, we invite viewers to reflect on their form, technology, and style. The selection is always changing, and there are many kinds of chairs to discover throughout the galleries, from wood to plywood to metal, and the latest digitally printed resin. There's even a paper chair by the Japanese designer Takujin Yoshiota. Of course, the Zapotec vessel in the form of a seated figure in the pre-Columbian area of the museum is outstanding, as is the chief's chair and the Yoruba mother and child in the African section. The Chinese Guanyin seated bodhisattva work not only is in repose, but puts us in a very meditative mood that makes one want to be in a position of repose, as do the numerous works showing the Buddha in every guise. These, of course, fall under nature and spiritual. And, of course, in the category of the classical figure, the Artemisia Gentileschi harks back to the notion of the odalisque, the nude or partly clad female who is both desirable and dangerous. So, take a walk through our own art museum or an art museum anywhere in the world and notice how many works deal with figures at rest or in some state of repose. I'm Nancy Kranzberg.
Nancy Kranzberg has been involved in the arts community for some 30 years on numerous arts-related boards. Next week on Cityscape, we're going to talk about the St. Louis International Film Festival's tribute to King Bagot, a St. Louis actor who is the first movie star but who has been largely forgotten. And the next installment of Soundbites, produced with Sauce Magazine, will meet Joel Clark, a local bartender who has lost his sense of smell but not his sense of taste. Join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air, when he'll talk about media literacy and the environment. He'll also take a look at the court decision declaring Missouri's same-sex marriage ban unconstitutional. Archive versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with assistance from Erica Smith and Aaron Doerr. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter. Have a great weekend and join us next time.